And this can also be traced in other types of crafts. Ivory work is very a good medium to see the adaptation coming in from the Near East, how you would adapt. Textiles, unfortunately, don't survive. Furniture has been revealed. Roof tiles, another big item studied by archaeologists, where domestic architecture is clearly influenced by the renewed contact. And the excavations at Izmir today in the early Greek colony at Old Smyrna indicates that the Greeks were learning how to make superior tiles and building material for domestic architecture, again, from their Anatolian neighbors and kinsmen. So in the day-to-day arts, there are some remarkable changes in Greek society from the time of Homer to the time of the Persian War. Material culture becomes far more complex, sophisticated. There are far many more goods. It's also seen in the areas that we would call great art. It can be measured in a variety of ways. One is in monumental masonry. I mentioned that with the collapse of civilization in the later stages of the Bronze Age, that one of the skills that was lost was working in stone. And through much of the so-called Dark Age that covered Greece and Western Asia Minor, any kind of major construction, it just disappeared. There was not only the money, a lack of money to support it. You didn't have powerful kings or institutions, but likewise, apparently, skills were lost. And this is one of the skills the Greeks relearn as a result of moving out into the wider Mediterranean world. One simple test is simply to look at the number of known stone temples. In the 7th century BC, I forget what the exact count is, they're well under 100 that are known, and there's at least three or four times that in the 6th century BC, and that's a very, very crude estimate. But what is more important is the shift from constructing in wood to stone. And Greek architecture is peculiar because it's essentially a post and lintel construction. That is two posts with a beam across it, a typical construction in wood as the main medium. And what they do is take the notion of monumental sculpture and architecture and apply it to this essentially wooden system of constructing. And so Greek temples in many ways are a strange adaptation. The Greeks do not have the arch. They don't have concrete and brick as the Romans do. And so their buildings are very much similar to what their domestic architecture. Those pillars of Greek temples were literally wooden columns at first. And Greek temples were usually painted, at least in their earliest form. They were not the bleached white temples that we think of in nostalgic images of ancient Greece in travelogues. In the course of the 7th and 6th century BC, a series of orders were developed, that is, architectural designs for temples, best represented by the type of pillar that you encounter on a Greek temple. But the construction was more than just the pillar. It was a whole system that went with the temple. The earliest is known as the Doric order. It's a very simple pillar resting on a base. And the upper levels are alternating what are known as triglyphs and metopes. Those types of temples are apparently the first temples built in monumental stone. There's an excellent example on the shores of Asia Minor at the little town of Assos, which is opposite the modern Greek island of Lesbos. And there is a temple of Athena, constructed about 525 BC. It does show some pedimental and sculptural elements of the later Ionic order. The Ionic order is a more elaborate order where you have this scroll-like top to your pillar. It has a base for the pillar. It doesn't just rest on the foundation of the temple. There is also elaborate frieze work that decorates it, that is architectural elements. And the Ionic order becomes, par excellence, the type of architecture associated with East Greece.